It's The Takeaway. I'm Kai Wright, host of the United States of Anxiety, a podcast from WNYC. I'm in for Tanzina Vega, who'll be back tomorrow. Glad you're with us today. Violence in Georgia is where we begin. On Tuesday, a 21-year-old white gunman went on a rampage in three spas in Atlanta, killing at least eight people, including six women of Asian descent.
The suspect did take responsibility for the shootings. He said that early on once we began the interviews with him. He claims that these, and as the chief said, this is still early, but he does claim that it was not racially motivated.
Not racially motivated. The response of the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office immediately drew backlash from around the country when a spokesperson repeated the shooter's claim that he was motivated by a, quote, sex addiction, and said that he was
kind of at the end of his rope, and yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
A bad day. Many were reminded of the empathetic treatment previous white perpetrators of racial violence have received from police departments. The shooting was particularly painful for Asian American communities, which have been facing hate crimes all across the country during the pandemic. A report by the nonprofit coalition Stop AAPI Hate showed that almost 4,000 hate crimes have taken place since last March in all 50 states. Another study by California State University San Bernardino showed a 150% increase in hate crimes against Asian Americans in some of the largest U.S. cities from 2019 to 2020. All while overall hate crime numbers have dropped in the same time frame. Joining us with the latest from Georgia is Ellen Eldridge, healthcare reporter for Georgia Public Broadcasting. She's been covering the shooting in Atlanta. Ellen, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also joining us to talk about how this relates to racialized sexism that Asian American women face is Vivian Ho, California reporter for The Guardian. Vivian, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ellen, can we just get the latest on this story?
The latest update, obviously, the suspect is in custody. He's in the Cherokee County Jail. There was some mention of an arraignment this morning, but I called the courthouse and an arraignment was never actually scheduled. And there is no first appearance or anything on the docket for him currently. He's just in jail.
And how has this landed, particularly in the Asian American community in the Atlanta area? I've seen reports of vigils outside some of the spas. How is this landing?
Yeah, that's correct. The community at large sees this as a hate crime, that the suspect targeted women of Asian descent, purposefully went to those types of parlors. And I mean, it's all over social media, as you've seen, that this is horrific.
Yeah. What about the white community, particularly there in Cherokee County, where we heard from the police department? What has been the response there?
Well, the sheriff's office certainly is taking a lot of criticism right now. They, as of this morning, took down the sheriff's office Facebook page. The spokesman, Captain Jay Baker, a man that I've worked with as a journalist for the past few years, he made the comments about a bad day that's really gone viral. And some people in the community are trying to say that the shooter's actions were based on a sex addiction. But overall, I think that the majority of the people really feel like this is hate and race based, and that best case scenario, the spokesman was just trying to maybe relate what the killer had said when he confessed, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Vivian, what about you? How did this land, particularly thinking about that police response and the sex addiction piece of it? How did that land for you?
I think when you talk about things in terms of a sex addiction and how it's not racially motivated, according to the killer, I think we need to take things in context of how the fetishization of Asian women and the hypersexualization of Asian women is in itself racist. And nobody is acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. The fetishization of Asian women and the hypersexualization of Asian women has created a market in which Asian women are forced to work as sex workers and fill these roles and essentially step into these roles and become and do this work and do this and put themselves in really dangerous situations. Mm-hmm. And basically put themselves in a lot of danger.
What about in Asian American communities around the country? You know, it's been a tough year, and this just feels like it's such a dramatic addition to what we've been seeing. What have you been hearing in terms of how this has landed in communities?
Well, I think the term I was hearing was really like, what does it feel like to be gutted when you no longer have guts to be gutted? Mm. That's kind of how it feels like. Oh, it was almost like this was almost expected, an escalation of sorts, because, you know, everyone has been saying this for years. This didn't start with the pandemic. This didn't start with the Trump administration. Everyone knew anti-Asian hate was there. Everyone knew it was there, but just nobody was really paying attention until just now.
And do you feel like, why do you think that is? How has it felt in terms of why people haven't been able to, if you feel like, hey, this has been clearly coming and others haven't seen it coming, what do you think that's about?
Because there's just been a longstanding erasure of the Asian American experience. I mean, look at it now. There's almost kind of this mental gymnastics that happens when it comes to the discrimination that Asian Americans face. Like right now, when it's like, oh, it's not racially motivated. It's like, well, you know, it's quite clearly, I mean, that this man went to 3 Asian-owned businesses, resulting in the deaths of 6 Asian women. He didn't target other establishments that were not Asian-owned. He clearly went to 3 Asian-owned businesses. And we're going to say it's not racially motivated. And so it's kind of one of those situations where it's like, so we're just going to pretend race has nothing to do with it. At what point does our experience not matter?
Ellen, what about in Atlanta prior to this shooting? What has been the relationship between the Asian American community and the rest of the city and the rest of the area before this shooting? Was this something that people felt like they saw coming there as well?
I feel like what I'm hearing from the Asian community now and from human rights activists is that there has been an underlying issue of racism, not only against Asian Americans, but other communities of color. I know that several of our senators and representatives yesterday throughout the day have cited the statistic that since the beginning of the pandemic, fueled by the former president's comments, Asian American violence has gone, it's more than doubled, like 150%. In fact, in my reporting, I spoke with a human rights activist, Kenyettisha Barnes, and she described this as, she said, what we need to do is really unpack the intersection of racism and violence in racial eroticism. So just like Vivian was saying, there's a lot going on here.
And in terms of the response as a hate crime, the law enforcement response, Georgia just passed a hate crimes bill last year. How would it affect this case if it was indeed ruled a hate crime?
Yeah, that's right. Our hate crimes law was nearly 16 years in the making. And though the suspect has not yet been charged with a hate crime, if he were, it would definitely mean tougher penalties, because it's believed that he targeted people based on their race and gender, possibly.
And is gender included in that hate crime law?
It is, yes. Race, religion, disability, gender, sexual orientation, or national origin.
Mm-hmm. Vivian, what about hate crime law as a response to this? Is that what is a good solution to this? I mean, it's not just this particular act here in Atlanta, as we've said, but all around the country we've been seeing this. Is hate crime law the answer or something else? How do we deal with this?
That's what's so frustrating about this. Hate crime law, it's almost a Band-Aid, right? Because hate crime law is just so hard to prove. You know, you can't just prove that someone stole a sandwich. You have to prove that they stole a sandwich because they were hungry. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult. And to go that extra step to prove what their motive was, it's just, you know, it makes prosecutors and authorities are just so unwilling to do that. And so we have situations like we're seeing now where in the San Francisco Bay Area, we're seeing a lot of Asian neighborhoods and a lot of Chinatowns where populations are targeted for robberies, burglaries, and assaults. And it's quite clear that they very much are being targeted. But are they being targeted because they're Asian? Mm-hmm. No, but they are being targeted, most likely because they're easy targets. But does it feel, but is it because they're Asian? No, but they're still being targeted.
So and where so do it we becomes turn? Those,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. What is this? What is the solution then? So Ellen, what is the solution?
Ellen, what about in Atlanta? Does it feel like hate crime law? Does the community say, yes, what we really wanted was hate crime law and that's going to resolve it? Or are there other ideas on the table?
Well, I mean, the idea of resolving the underlying issues of racism in America is far more nuanced than a simple law. I mean, I feel like with the passage of Georgia's hate crime law last year, I think it was over the summer in 2020 that our governor signed it, it's a step forward. I believe this may be the first instance where that charge could be applied to a crime. And I'm definitely eager to watch what unfolds and see whether this man is charged with a hate crime.
How's the media done, Vivian, in covering this story? Not just this story, but this the trend of these attacks over the past year.
I think in the recent months, the media has really stepped up a little bit and really started paying more attention. But I will say I was pretty displeased in the first night of the shootings when nobody mentioned that these were Asian-owned businesses. I don't understand, you know, I understand the need for caution when it comes to breaking news. And I know we can't say it was hate related or racially motivated immediately because we don't know what the shooter's motive is in the first night. But we can say definitively that these were Asian owned businesses, that the shooter went to three Asian owned businesses. That's important and that's significant.
Yeah. Ellen Eldridge is a healthcare reporter at Georgia Public Broadcasting, and Vivian Ho is California reporter for The Guardian. Thanks to both of you for helping us cover this difficult and still unfolding story.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.